Hello, PHCC. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 5 of PHCC Rocks, a podcast highlighting some of the great things happening all over America related to the National Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors Association. I'm your host, Joel Long, and we are coming to you from today's international headquarters of PHCC and looking forward to having some great discussions in the coming weeks and months. We're doing this podcast because we believe in telling the incredible stories of our members, chapters, events, and partners from all over the country that make PHCC rock. Today, we are highlighting another great part of PHCC. We have two gentlemen from the great state of Ohio, Rocco Fanna, who is the executive director of PHCC of Ohio, and Joe Shank, who is the president of PHCC of Ohio. Guys, thanks so much for the time today. It's great to have you on, and hey, welcome to our podcast. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you, Joel. Doing great. Thank you for having us.
How's the weather up there?
Cold.
Cold.
It's cold and snowy here in Cleveland.
Cold and snowy and forecast of cold and snowy for, for the next couple months.
Correct. It is winter, so that's what we expect.
Well, you know, here in North Carolina, we just came out of 75, and, you know, today I think it'll get down to 35, and then tomorrow it'll be back up to 70, and so we have no idea what's going on here, so that's normal. So listen, guys, I really appreciate the time. It's really important that we get these stories out of what's happening with, great chapters like you guys, and just so really excited today. And one of the things I've really enjoyed as we're doing this is really hearing the stories about how people ended up where they are currently. So, if you could, maybe Rocco, you go first and just tell us, give us some background on how you ended up at PHCC.
Sure. So any association executive that you talk to should or will immediately tell you that they just stumbled into it. I don't think anybody goes out and says, hey, I'm going to be an association executive, or whatever the reason is. There might be some of that today. So I've been in the association world, if you will, for 20 plus years now. 13 of that this year has been with PHCC, which is great. I just happened to fall into it. I was running a congressional campaign and met with a representative from the Associated Builders and Contractors, another construction trade association. And I was asking him for PAC money, as all good.
Of course. Rocco, we lost you. You muted yourself, man. You muted yourself. Perfect.
And we have lost the campaign. But I kept in contact with him. He called me out of the blue and said, hey, I'm leaving my position with the National Association. I think you'd be a great fit for this job. Okay. I said, fantastic. I know nothing about it, but let me check it out. So I started off as a government affairs representative for the Associated Builders and Contractors, working out of my home like I am today. I covered 4 states at that time. It was Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky, 10 chapters. And I worked with each of those chapters to implement government affairs programs. Some of them had some of them didn't. We worked on PAC events, supporting candidates. And that message that came from ABC, I've carried it throughout my career, is get into politics or get out of business.
There you go.
And that's always the number one reason why members should belong to any organization. So that's when I started with them. I was with them for a couple of years. Did a lot of great things, really enjoyed it. And then I jumped to the Home Builders. And then I was with the Home Builders National Association for a couple of years, then wound up at a local chapter, which is really where I cut my teeth being an association executive. Yeah. And had some really, really good years there. And when I was still with the Home Builders, I actually had met my predecessor and talked to her about possibly one day becoming the executive director of PHCC. At that time, she wasn't ready to retire. She was actually, believe it or not, in her 70s.
Oh, wow.
Still quite young. Yeah.
And that's getting younger. That's getting younger every year.
Exactly.
That's
right. And I had talked with her about things, but she wasn't ready because we had Joe Schmidt was about to become the national president from Ohio. Okay. So she wanted to be there for Joe and take care of that business. Come 2008, 2009, friend of mine called me and said, hey, remember that lady you talked to at PHCC? She's ready to retire. They're looking for a replacement. Oh, wow. And I said, I'll be darned. So I had called her, met with her, discussed all the different options and that, had formal interviews because not only do I run PHEC, but I also run the Air Conditioning Contractors of Ohio.
Right.
So there's two groups that I would be taking on. And I think I was just in the waiting
place. PHEC is your favorite.
It is. It is.
Okay, just checking.
But don't let the ACCO guys hear that, because when I'm with them, I always say that ACCO is my favorite.
That's good.
No, they're both great groups, good organizations. But I think at that time, I was in the right place at the right time, because we actually were coming back from Texas. We lived there for about a year. I was with the home builders, and my wife always said, I told my wife, if it doesn't work out, we could always come back, which we did. And got that call from, her name's Sandy Pogan, and met with both boards, both executive committees. And as they say, the rest is history.
Oh, that's great. So, you know, and amazing. I worked. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I worked for about a year as the assistant, just to get to know the members, understand how things operate and that sort of thing. So I didn't officially take over until 2010.
You muted yourself again. Rocco, you muted yourself again. Attaboy.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
so the phone's ringing. This is going on.
Perfect, man. And the kids, go ahead and get the kids in there, man. That'll make it even better. You know, I think it's interesting, though, when you brought up, it's been interesting how some of the conversations we've already had, how many people get their first real tie-in to PHCC and the associations through governmental affairs in some format. And so it is a really huge part of what we do. So it's interesting to hear that that's how you got your start, really, in being connected with the association. That's pretty interesting. So it's good to hear. All right, Joe, did you miss a meeting or something? How did you get involved with PHCC?
Well, it's through this current employer that I'm with, MSD. I came in as a service manager, went to operations manager. I had friends who are in the plumbing business, have their own businesses, and they've told me about PHCC. Okay. And you should come to a meeting. And MSD being a member, we had a couple guys going just really to keep their hours current. But I went to the meeting, and having friends there just turned into one thing to the next. And I've learned if you say no, it closes the door possibly you could never open again. So when you're asked to be, you know, a zone director, and you start there to get into the state board, and then you're asked one day to become president elect, and you say, well, sure. So
yeah, I got all kind of free time. Sure.
My background, HVAC, refrigeration, really my passion is the trades, but I really do love refrigeration. That's my grassroots part of it.
Okay.
Supermarket refrigeration, ice cream machines, ice machines, those kind of things. So,
okay.
But yeah, the plumbing is really, really an avenue or a trade that I didn't know before as well. But being involved with this group and the camaraderie with everybody who's willing to show you, tell you anything about it is really cool and been great.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's, you know, that is one of the massive benefits I see all across the country, and it's really helped my business and our people that we talk to. Is just, if you know, there's so many people across the country, if there's an issue or you have a problem or you have a question, it's amazing how many answers you can get that are a lot better answers than I have by myself. So yeah, we see that. So it's good. Great. So one of the things too that's happened is just the realization that PHCC National is the oldest national trade association in the country. And I know I see you guys also have a few years behind you. Can you give us a little bit of background of the Ohio chapter?
So we were founded in 1890. So we're up there in age, just like PHCC National. I didn't memorize all the information behind that. We have a 100-year anniversary book. The information is listed on our website. But I think it was the same idea of PHEC National, plumbers wanting to come together for the benefit of the industry and for consumers. As we all know, the plumber protects the health of the nation. And a lot of things going on at that time just kind of culminated and then forming their chapter and moving forward. And so, yeah, we're just a little bit over 130 years old. You can see from the graphic behind me, we use that logo to promote it in 2020, the great year that we had. And the other thing is interesting, Joel, with that history is you always find out, and when you're talking to members about how could we market PHCC? And I'm like, we're 130 years old. Do you understand? It's like, how much marketing do we have to do? I mean, it is sometimes a well-hidden secret. But I always tell our members, they're our best marketing tool.
Oh yeah.
They should be promoting it, and any kind of advertising that they're doing when they're talking to their customers, when they're talking to other potential contractors. So we've tried, you know, different campaigns over the years and social media and websites and all that stuff. So it's a collective effort to get that word out there about PHCC.
Yeah, it's a long, you know, storied history, but we tend to not spend much on marketing, that's for sure, except word of mouth. So tell me about the state association, you know, number of members. When I went on your website, I did notice you guys seem to have a lot of locals compared to other states that are.
Yeah. So currently we've got 6 local chapters in all the major markets, if you will. There's Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Cleveland, Youngstown, Akron, Canton, and, spread out across the state. We're working on actually trying to get a chapter out west in the Toledo area.
Okay.
There might be a potential chapter there. I think we're at about 185 contractor members, about 25 associate members. So we've been growing over the years. We were holding steady at about 170 members. And just with the way things have been going, obviously for the last couple of years, it's been up and down, I think, like a lot of people, but we've been able to hold those numbers. And one of the things I've realized over the years is that membership that we have is very loyal and dedicated to the PHCC. We have a lot of longtime members, and I'm talking 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's a great testament to the association and to the membership for being there year in and year out with all the changes and everything going on. So that's one key thing that I've noticed over the years.
You guys seem to be... you know, my history, you know, seeing you guys with, you know, from Ohio, you seem to be more stable than some of the other state associations. Would you say that that's because of some of the locals being stronger? I mean,
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always funny when I first started in this position, and even now, you know, I always say I can't take credit for any of that. I've just been able to maintain and hold what was set up before me and all the history before me. And the people that make it work are the members. You know, we have a great partnership with ACCO that I talked about, and all these other execs always ask me, how do you do that? How do you do that? And I'm like, I don't. I go, I inherited the system. I said, the members every year, they make it work. They get along. They want to work together. These guys know each other when we go to our annual convention year in and year out. But our chapters are very strong at the local level. And that's interesting because I actually, besides the state organization, I run the Cleveland chapter, the Northeast Ohio Master PHCC. So I know those guys really well, right in my backyard. And again, it goes back to the membership that they're very involved. They understand the issues. When you ask them to get involved, they will get involved. You know who the key people are to do it. But for the most part, yeah, it's the membership that makes those locals really strong.
Yeah, Joe, are you in one of the locals, Joe?
Yeah, I'm in the Dayton chapter.
Okay, and it's the best chapter?
It is, by far, yeah.
Okay. But, I would say one of the most fun chapters.
Oh, it is. Okay, well, that's what matters, that's right.
It kept me here.
So.
But to chime in on Rocco's talking about the history and something that come to light to me, being the president, they say, you know, hey, you need to go around and visit the chapters through the year. So I've done that. I have a couple more to go to, but the one that stuck out to me the most was the Cincinnati chapter. It's on the agenda they sent me because I was to swear in their new board for this year. It said 141st banquet. And I was like, wow, 141 years. I mean, that goes back to 1880.
Wow.
And when I had the floor to speak, I just told him, I mean, that's just so solid to me. And it was actually a couple of guys coming together that wanted to build this, and they have their own apprenticeship program down there that they do. And you have, they're all competitors, but they all come together, you know, as a uniform body to build up this industry, this trade, and support it. And it's a really cool thing to see that I got to be a part of.
You know, that's interesting. Yeah, the locals that are really successful, something has happened, like you're talking about, where they get past competing. You know, they help each other from a understanding of their businesses and how to win. And it's really interesting what it turns into from a community standpoint. You know, it really they end up doing more work for the community that they're in, and they build the brand of our businesses, our industry, in a lot better format. I've seen that all over the place. That's really good to hear. So I did want to I did want to ask one thing. You know, in North Carolina, years ago, we have our PHCC jackets in North Carolina, and I'm an NC State grad, and, you know, we're red and white are our colors, and we used to have these ugly green, almost like the Masters jacket, but I think they were Master jackets knockoff because they were just a terrible ugly, and so we decided to get away from those because we couldn't find them anymore. And so I lobbied, and me and two other guys to go to red jackets, and we lost because of you guys. We didn't want to be like Ohio, and, you know, and I was like, it'll be great. We'll go to national. There'll be some kind of, but we lost. So give me the, you know, we always call you guys the, you may not even know it, the Red Coat Mafia. And
oh, nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There you go. Y'all, I'm probably letting out state secrets here, but give me, man, talk about the where did the red jackets come from?
So I actually have asked this question over the years because sometimes I forget about it. And so I've been with the Red Coat since, you know, it's been 13 years now, and it goes back a lot farther than that. My predecessor had the red jacket when I first went to a local meeting and the state meeting. I saw these red jackets. So according to Joe Schmidt, I guess, and I don't know how long this goes back, but at the time, I guess California, and you think green is bad, Joel, they were wearing yellow jackets. Now imagine that, yellow. So Ohio wanted to,
I'm going to just be quiet.
Keep going, Rocco. They wanted to copy that look, but obviously not with yellow. Yeah. And they went with red because kind of Ohio is known for red, and you got the Buckeyes, scarlet and gray, and the Cardinals, our state bird, they're red. So that's kind of the reason they came up with the red jackets. And everybody that serves on our state board gets a red jacket. And once they're done with their leadership position and their president, they keep that red jacket. Okay. And these guys are great. Our past presidents, whenever you're at national, our state meetings, they wear them. And the past presidents are interesting because every year, and you're going to be invited to this, hopefully you'll be able to attend our convention in March. So the past presidents get together for a yearly dinner. And part of that, I won't give it away, but the recent incoming, which will be Joe Schenck, they have a little ritual and take care of some business that they go through. Part of that is you have to wear that red jacket.
Okay.
And if you don't, I don't know if there's punishments or fines or anything else going on with that. So they take it very seriously. But the red jacket is a great way to identify us. Every time we go to our state capitol to lobby, they know the red jackets are coming, as well as in Washington. We've talked with staff over the years with different congressional offices, and they remember.
Sure,
they said, "Oh yeah, I remember the red jackets from you know years ago or just last year walking around the Capitol." The one funny thing about them, when we would stay at the Marriott, if you remember, just across from Georgetown,
the Key Bridge.
So if you ever notice them, or even at the Capitol building, they wear red jackets.
Oh, really?
So on a few occasions. Perfect. We've been asked to take luggage or direct some tourist group. So we're happy to help anytime you want.
Sure you are.
So,
Joe,
and I can get away with it a little bit more because you'll notice the other jackets, everybody's got a big patch. Well, I haven't got my patch yet. I mean, I have them, don't get me wrong, but I've been known to wear this jacket out on other occasions besides PHEC events.
Oh.
So, you know, red's a great color. It's really flashy. And I like the jacket a lot. So, but that's kind of the history behind it. And I, you know, it could go back 20 to 30 years because, you know, Joe Schmidt has been around a long, long time. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the history of the jackets.
Joe, you going to add anything?
I didn't know it was so known about the red jacket when I went to National out in Kansas City and wearing the jacket because that's what we do. I'd get on the elevator and they'd go, "Oh, you're from Ohio." I'm like, "Yeah, how'd you know?" You're the only ones who wear red jackets. Somebody told me that I labeled myself.
There you go. Well, I love it. And I think that history and, you know, tying you guys together is important. You know, and that's one of the reasons in North Carolina, we wanted to do some of this. I think it's a great legacy thing that you got to keep going. So I hope you guys keep going. And I've got a red velvet jacket that may show up sometime, but anyway, that's another story.
There you go.
There
you go. You'd be an honorary member here in Ohio.
It is a lot of fabric and it's ugly, so it'll be perfect.
You can still hang with us. It's okay.
All right, perfect. Yeah. You know, I was going to switch gears a little bit. You know, getting into some of the PHCC national stuff. You know, we've got a strategic plan coming up in January, and coming into the president this year, and I was there when we did the strategic plan 5 years ago. It's really an important event. You know, it's really an important piece of what we do. And I didn't realize it when I walked in that room that, you know, that couple of days, and we're getting ready to do it again at the end of January. You know, can you talk about, you know, maybe some things you'd like to see, or, you know, maybe how important you see that, or just give us some feedback on, you know, if you were in the room, maybe, you know, what would you, you know, guide us to really focus on going forward?
Joe, you want to answer that first?
Yeah, sure. Mine would
I
just
have some ideas.
Just focus on the apprenticeship program, getting it out there, getting we got to capture the interest when the kids are in junior high and not having so much. And because there's a lot of rural areas where they won't be able to maybe get to a college or whatever. I think that is the best part about the online piece that's there. And I love the hands-on piece that you have that PHCC has, where the instructor can actually set up the problem with an HVAC unit. Something's broken, messing with the thermostat, and through that program, they can test it and they come back, and it's challenging for them as a remote aspect that I really liked about it, that you can give to your technicians. Our service managers can create scenarios for them through that process, and they go home and work on it at night and come back and give the feedback of what they found. And I love that they had the trades that came in to compete at the national, seeing that and all that going on. I never was exposed to that before. So I love all that. It'd be nice if it would be bigger, we could bring more in, but we'd have a limited time when we do that national convention.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate that. One of our main focuses is going to be how we continue the education format going forward, you know, with the foundation, of course, and their strategic plan, but how we do it, from youth all the way through, you know, in our positions, Joe, you know, we're not the youngest anymore. How we, you know, do that education and what that means for our contractors. It's a very important thing to have a lifetime of education. And I think so the way we've started with the apprenticeship and recruiting kids straight out of high school, to your point, is a massive opportunity, especially in more rural areas like North Carolina and Ohio, where, you know, you got these kids and their parents are terrified that they got to go to college and they don't have any money to pay for it, and they're getting into debt, and we've got a career that will help them pay for, and they can start producing immediately, so their self-worth goes up immediately, and it's just an amazing process if we can do that. You got anything, Rocco, or you never mind, Rocco? We'll move on to something else. I'm just
whatever you want to do. No, I totally agree with Joe about the apprenticeship and the education to continue that. We're going in a good direction. You know, the other thing that we've been doing recently is with this podcast. Last year, I was able to sit down with folks from Odie and do a podcast with them just about how important the trades are and membership of PHEC and other things like that. And then now we've got, I know you're familiar with the American Plumber Stories.
Oh, yeah, great, great.
That whole project that's come out. Yeah. And it's kind of like this perfect storm is coming together for our industry and other trade industries, just about promoting how good the trades are and what a good career it will be and will make and all the benefits that go into that. So if, you know, PHEC can somehow tie into that, lock into that, that would be great, especially at the national level. The other thing too, Joel, as the state executive of Ohio, for me, national, and this isn't meant to be taken in the wrong way, but national is always an afterthought to me, if you will. And I always tell my members too, it's an insurance policy. It's there if we need it. You know, there, you guys are doing your job. They're taking care of business. We've got Mark up on the Hill with legislative affairs, Chuck taking care of the regulatory, everybody else is doing their job, that sort of thing. I don't really get hung up on the day, the ins and outs of, hey, what's happening at National? What are they doing for our association? Sure. What's going on? I know who to call. I know where to get information from. We built those relationships over the years. And whenever I make a call or email to Mark, he's right on it. When I, now talking to Mark, our new executive, I know he'll be there and he'll be right on it.
And that's kind of how I, because our members, you know, it's all about the local, because even sometimes state association, what's that? What's going on there? Yeah. So, because everything happens at the local level, and we try to imitate what we're, you know, from national and the state and put it at the local level. So that's why I don't get too hung up on what you guys are doing, which direction you should be going. They, you know, the staff's great. They know which direction they're going, the leadership, yourself and the other officers and directors, you guys got it fully under control.
And well, and I think too, to make sure there's, you know, 5 years ago, there was a big shift, in that strategic plan, and, you know, national organizations, well, any organization drifts in and out and focused and unfocused. And we really refocused. I mean, we were always focused on members, but we really focused more on being a member-centric organization first instead of an association-centric. And that really, by setting some different goals and all that, and we really accomplished a lot over the years. But my background, I think the state associations is really why we're here as a national association. You know, we're here to make sure the states win, and then the states are here to make sure the locals win. And if that happens at the local level, then national is going to win, and then we're going to be a stronger industry because of it. And you know, and then every tier has its focus items that it can be really good at. There's things national can't influence directly too much of what's happening in the Cleveland, in the Cincinnati local, but man, we can be there for support, like you're talking about, at a large level. So yeah, I think absolutely. It's really making sure that we stay in our lanes too. Not that we would ever get out of them, but you know, so that's good stuff. Guys, appreciate that.
Joel, one thing I liked, what I saw, since I'm from the outside coming in this last year, is the connection that you bring in national zone directors, like we have Ron Schmidt. And there's another group who, Jeff Hager is a part of. You have connections. It's just not like nationals out there running on their own looking for you have connections to the groups and the states and everything. So I really do see the connection and how it flows, because that's my first thing coming in. Now I get to see how this works, and going to national convention, I got to see more how it works, and looking forward to coming to Cleveland.
we're excited about that.
That's gonna be great.
And we're going to wear you out before that, I'm sure, coming to Cleveland. But, you know, we're coming to Charlotte next year, and they're going to wear me out. So it'll be a great thing. I appreciate that feedback on, because on how we do this as a three-tier, as a federation, because it's really I get lost sometimes that it's us and them, depending on, you know, it's the locals and the state. And it's really your association. You know, it's
That's exactly where I was coming from, because I realized after I got into this position, which I encourage anybody to step up in their local chapters, because you're going to learn a lot.
It's amazing how much you learn. Yeah. I feel like I think I should be getting smarter, but every time I talk to anyway, you get dumber. It seems like, or you learn, but the opportunity to learn is amazing. So, hey, at Connect, you know, we had John Gordon came in, one of my favorite authors, and I've just, his story of how he got into such a positive leadership position when he was really a negative person growing up and stuff is really interesting to me. And then coming out of 2021, I've never been so ready to get by a year. And I think a lot of people are that way. What do you guys see coming up and to move Ohio and maybe your business, you know, Joe, into a positive direction? Because I think that's important for our people to hear.
Yeah. So right now we're like with everybody. Our positive direction is finding people. We have a very long list of open positions. Yeah. We actually, unfortunately, we've had one particular department that I rely on had to pull out from that work because the staff just wasn't there. We're more in a rebuilding stage still for this year to get back to where we were.
Okay. So the apprenticeship programs, recruiting using the apprenticeship programs and all that is really valuable.
Oh, yes, it is. We have our own. We just went this year in-house our own. The ownership took and they hired a person to run, focus on apprenticeship. We actually now, because one of the problems we got feedback on was they didn't want to come in at night and go through classes. That's one of the greatest things about the online is, you know, they have the opportunity to do it for their flexible schedules, but we decided to bring it in-house.
Okay.
And they're being paid through the week to come to class and go out in the field and work. And so, yeah, we're starting from rock bottom, trying to bring this back up to full speed.
Rocco, you got anything that for Ohio?
So one of the things we've been working on for many, 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 many years is our residential licensing bill.
Yeah.
And we've been working on that for 10 plus years and longer than that. It goes well beyond, I tell the members before I arrived at PHCC. And we're really optimistic that this could be the year that we get that passed into law. Last year, we made some steps in the right direction. We finally got to do proponent testimony. And that's interesting how that all works because it's a moment's notice. So a committee was meeting on a Wednesday. They notified us on the Thursday before. And so, you know, during the years, you have all these plans in place of who's going to testify, what you're going to put together. But when they knock on your door saying, hey, it's go time, you really see how quick you could put things together. And we had at least five members from both associations and myself that went to Columbus on that Wednesday. And we testified in favor of the bill. Then you wait and you wait and you wait. And they finally had opponent testimony, which was just at the end of October. And the great thing about the opponent testimony was there was no opponent testimony.
Oh, wow.
So that just tells us that the committee chairman gets it. He understands the importance of it. The whole premise behind residential licensing is in Ohio, we have commercial licensing, but no residential. And it's all about consumer safety.
Sure.
You want to make sure that the contractors going into those homes, whether it's plumbing, HVAC, or electrical, are qualified, professional, educated, licensed contractors. And you'll be surprised how many don't know that a contractor that comes in their house does not have to be licensed.
Sure.
And we did a short survey. We got it back a lot of responses, and a majority did not know that a contractor was not licensed to do work in their home. So that's our whole focus is consumer safety with that. We did do, you had mentioned this before in previous conversations, a video last year of a homeowner, what they had to deal with an actual carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
And just they lucked out. I mean, that family
really
lucked
out. Yeah, it's a scary, scary video if you see
it. When you hear the story and you see Aaron, and he testified as well. He said, anything you want me to do, I'm there for you. He's like, I can't believe that there's not licensed contractors don't have to be for residential. So we've gotten a lot of mileage out of that video just to show the effects of real homeowners and what could happen. So hopefully we've used that. We've showed that to legislatures. We actually won our grassroots award last year for that video to help push our cause. So I'm optimistic and positive that this will be the year for that. And it's always interesting going to that. Like I said, we've been working on it for 10 plus years and we've had bills introduced over the years, but they've just sat in committee and have not gone anywhere and different leadership comes and goes. And I always attribute that to why a lot of members don't like or understand politics or government relations, because when you guys get a call, you got to fix it immediately.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's a broken toilet or a hot water tank or some other system that's an issue, you can't say, I'll get to you in 2 or 3 weeks. We'll take care of it then. Yeah. So a lot of members can't wrap their arms around why has this taken so long? And especially you talk to the younger members, because the older guys have been around and they get it and they understand it.
And we're getting slower anyway, so it kind of matches.
They're chopping at the bit like, hey, we got to get this done. You've been working on it too long. Let's quit dragging our feet. So we're optimistic that this is the year that it's going to happen as far as residential licensing.
You know, you said something about that too. I think it's interesting that the way our system's set up politically and PACC, you know, we're basically a republic set up like the states where – I think it's great to use the state licensing as a good example of, you know, every state's a little bit different in how they do that licensing.
Right.
So we're able to look at state by state to see what works and what doesn't work, what works better. And so using all that information through the connections of PHCC, you get to see and talk to a lot of different execs and a lot of different state leaders on what's happening in their states. And then it makes us a lot stronger going forward. So, yeah, I mean, that's good.
Absolutely.
But it takes forever, in our view, to get some of those things changed, but it's probably a good thing in our system. you know, quick change is dangerous and the unintended consequences can be dangerous. So it's probably a really good thing to.
Well, and that's a good point because that's the way it's set up. It's supposed to take a long time. Now, you know, for something like this, it's important licensing, protecting consumers. Sure. You kind of scratch your head at it. But there's other things. And every year we give out statistics about the number of bills that have passed. And it's always a small number. And the members are amazed. They're like, are you kidding me? It's like sometimes it's less than 100 at the state level and even less than that at the national level. So, and I tell members, that's the way it's set up. I go, it's not easy to get a law passed, nor it should be. Plus, you have to have all these other groups and people weighing in their opinions and giving feedback and this, that, and the other thing. So it's a good system and it works. But again, you scratch your head about something like as important as licensing. Why is this taking so long? So, but we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Yeah, Joe, I would think the contractor perspective, getting licensing done is always, when you poll your contractors, that's a mixed thought process because a lot of us are really conservative thinking, less government. And so then you get to something like this and you go, my goodness, we got to have this. And so it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it is. It's a whole different scenario for different trade or different companies involved in that. Cause your construction side of home builders really don't want any licensing on them. But yet when you're talking about, I mean, that's what makes laws is when it affects so many lives of our population.
You better believe it. And that's why we're here. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why hazard labels get put on products that get shipped out to us. And there's so much small print to read and just the nature of the beast.
It does. Well, that's good. Rocco, good luck on that. And that would be a great success.
Thank you.
Before Dave Frame's term next year. So let's go, let's make that happen this year. Okay.
We'll try.
And then we'll try to take, then we'll try to take credit for it. That'd be perfect.
Sounds good.
So I want to switch gears to some personal stuff. Tell me, I think this needs to be more personal because then we relate a lot of times across the country. Tell me something that nobody knows about you, if you can. Not too personal.
Me?
Not too personal. Not too personal.
Yeah. What about you, Joe?
Uh-oh. Okay.
Well, I mean, gosh, I'm an open book, but I don't know if I'm going to go that open.
Or something you like to do, you know, do you go, you know, of course, what do you like to do when you're not working, all that kind of stuff?
What people don't know about me probably is the satisfaction I get from, and this is no BS, it's a fact, when I love going out and fixing things for people.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's when I talk to people coming into the trades, and actually with our new apprentices, the very first day is I set what the expectation is. And if you're here just for a paycheck, we don't want you here because we want more than just somebody for a paycheck. I have a passion for what I do. I love refrigeration. When HVAC, I would go home at night after running calls all day long on the truck and lay down. I couldn't go to sleep. I was thinking about what I did, what I fixed, how long did them people really deal with that problem? And it's exactly how I tell the new recruits coming in that of my mentality of how I go through that process. And believe me, that wasn't something that I did at 16. I started out riding a service truck when I was 13 years old in my dad's business.
Oh,
and
wow.
Grew through it. And, so yeah, it's learned. I wish I wasn't so stubborn when I was younger. That thing that
I can't relate. Elder, I can't relate to that, can I, Amy?
Yeah, listen
I can't
to your relate. Elders. The big meaning. I mean, there's a lot to listen to your elders because there's a lot of learned lessons there, and that's what I try to tell the recruits when they come in. I've been there, done that, and I wouldn't ask you to do anything I haven't done myself. And so yeah, I just have a passion about fixing things. I think the Lord put me here to fix.
Joe. I've asked that question of a lot of people, and man, that hit. You know, that hits a nerve with the people in our industry of a lot of why they're here. I mean, I'm going to tell you that's the real deal that I hear all over, or maybe not even hear about it because people don't talk about it. But that is really what drives a lot of the successful people in our industry. In our companies, whether they're small, big, whatever, and driving success. That's good stuff, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Rocco, top that.
Absolutely. I don't know if I can. One of the things I like to do, and I've been accused of, is I'm kind of a DIY junkie. And also on the side, I like woodworking and I like to build things. Oh, wow. And there's a lot of stuff and furniture around our house that I've built with my own hands and recycled, and repurposed and that sort of thing. A little plug, my wife owns her own store. It's a home goods artisan store. And a lot of the furniture I've made for her. Just tables out of wine boxes, and I've made a couple of bars, that sort of thing. And I just like doing that. One of the reasons I say DIY junkie, when our 6-year-old was coming, we had to baby proof the house, obviously, and it hadn't been done in quite a long time. So we were looking at gates for the bottom of the stairs and the top of the stairs. So all the gates I was looking at didn't really quite meet what we needed. So I made my own.
Oh my God.
Okay. And when I made
you're that guy. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
I'm like, I think I might have a problem.
Well, but that fits. So. But I mean, Joe, don't you think that fits too with who we are? I mean, that's who.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely fits, man. We can make that better. Yeah. That's perfect.
But I know my limitations. I know when to call the professionals, you know, to come in and take care of things.
Do we need to ask your wife? Like, do we need to ask your wife?
Yeah.
That question?
Well, no, okay. Cause she will always say, don't you know plumbers? Don't you know HVAC guys? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. So.
Perfect. Good. That's good stuff. Another question I like to, as we're getting a little bit older, I like to ask is if you could go back and talk to your 20-year-old self, what advice, would you give yourself?
Me, if you ask more questions.
Listen more and ask more questions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Don't do that. I'm learning to do that more and more. That's one of those things as you get older, you start to open your eyes more.
Right.
Rocco?
I'd say that's great. I'm trying to think, gosh, where was I when I was 20 years old? I think I might have just still been in school, going to college. You know, something that I always talk about today, being the executive, is I wish maybe somebody would have approached me at that time with a career in the trades or talked about the trades. Even in high school, I don't remember anyone talking to me about plumbing, electrical, or HVAC saying, hey, did you know this could be an option? Because I was set on going to college, but at that point, I had no idea what I was going to do. I don't think I decided that until my junior year, believe it or not. But I wish somebody would have just, because I would, if I asked the question, like, what else is available out there? You know, I just said that because hearing all the success stories today from our members, on what they have accomplished. And then you look at the workforce shortage that we have. And, you know, I kind of talk to my kids about that too. And my wife and I go back and forth on that. Cause I'm saying, you know, if they're not ready for college, there's other careers that they could look at going into.
So, yeah. I think that's a really good point. That's changing. I don't remember that either. I don't even, you know, growing up in our business, I was, Joe, very similar to you. I grew up in our business, from, you know, way before I could drive or anything, and just loved it from the start. But I don't remember anybody saying, you know, I don't remember that conversation. I wish I've talked about it a little bit. I wish earlier, I mean, you know, I would have realized how smart the old man was and a lot of the older guys in our business and around. I just didn't connect. I guess that just happens with a lot of generations, but I wish earlier I would have realized that, you know. It's a hard thing to realize, for sure. So, thanks guys for that. I think it's good to get that kind of feedback. It really helps us. Anything else from, you know, that you want to add that we haven't talked about?
No, I'm good.
Rocco, you got any other Ohio is the best things, like the red coats?
Well, the big thing I always talk about is our legislative efforts here. Our members really understand the importance of legislative affairs. But the big thing that we have is our partnership with ACCO. I've mentioned that before. Just because right around the corner is our annual convention. First week of March, we'll be in Cincinnati this year. Okay. And we're going on our 22nd year of doing this. And that's where I talked to executives from ACCA and PHCC. And they all want to do it and try it. And they always tell me, what's the secret? And I say, the members make it work. They decided those 22 years ago that rather than each doing their own trade association, why not do one big convention? Oh, wow. And take care of it. And our exhibitors appreciate that. Our suppliers.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
They come the one time. They can hit everybody across the state. But besides the convention, we do our legislative day at the Capitol together, which is great. And if there's any other kind of projects and things, they always are ready to get together and do things. Actually, the local chapter, Northeast Ohio, we're having a joint meeting with the Akron-Cleveland ACC next week.
Okay.
And I always promote that to the local chapters as well, saying, hey, team up with your local ACCA chapter. They're looking for probably the same speakers you are. You can get those guys together. So that's just another great thing that we have.
Well, congrats, guys. I tell you, I really appreciate the time. You know, it is good to hear the success stories all across the country. And you guys, in my experience, you guys, Rocco and your group has always been, you know, one of the consistent leaders that we've seen across the country. And we always are asking your success story so that people can copy it. And we hear that. So congrats, Joe. Great to meet you. I really appreciate hearing that history. That is so similar to how, you know, getting started at such a young age and especially that excitement of fixing things. I think, that's going to resonate with a ton of us. So it's good stuff. Any last things to add? I had to cut you off.
No, let's make this next year better than the last two. Boy,
that is for sure. So thanks guys. So listen, everybody, thanks so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Please spread the word if you can about the podcast, and please don't hesitate to contact us here at podcast@phccrocks.com. We're always looking for suggestions for future podcast topics and guests. You can find the podcast and subscribe at the website phccrocks.com, and please follow us on our local social media platforms. You can also find us and subscribe and rate the podcast on most podcast services such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google. Thanks again to Rocco Fana and Joe Shank. Guys, thanks so much for being our guest today. PHCC Rocks is produced and brought to you by Amy Anderson and Elizabeth King from GSM Services and Charlotte Parham of PHCC National, edited by PHCC National. I'm your host, Joel Long. Thanks again for hanging out with us, and please keep coming back to hear more reasons why PHCC rocks. Have a great day.